This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Timeout called by Steve Nash, and it appears to be the right ankle of Kyrie Irving that's caused Brooklyn to stop play here and attend to him.
I have no idea what's going to happen with Kai in the coming days.
Isn't it amazing, though, how quickly things change?
Yes, it is.
We all got to pitch in. We all got to play together. We got to move the ball.
I think the Bucks now do certainly have a chance solely because of injury. But you know what? That's part of the game.
That'll do it. The final score, Milwaukee 107, Brooklyn 96. This series is tied 2-2.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour, the show, of course, that you've fallen in love with is DCR, and it's time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We have a lot of things to get into. I mean, Djokovic winning the French, and what a great run that was. Phenomenal. Given the racket, the little kid was great. The Islanders, and just what a win yesterday, taking a 1-0 series lead. I mean, Rick, you just, it's an afternoon game. It couldn't have been scripted better for you yesterday afternoon.
Well, hold on. I mean, outside, you know, I mean, Islanders was great. Everything was good. I mean, it's the whole, you know, Mets situation.
But stop it.
Wasn't
Come
great.
On. The Mets won. They beat the Padres 2 out of 3. You get the Islanders win on the Sunday. You had a good sports weekend. Look at poor Chris
Pansy,
what he's dealing with.
No, but here's the thing. See, you're the worst. You didn't
Why?
Say, did you have a good sports weekend? You said, oh, this couldn't have been scripted more perfect. And I told you, no. I mean, it would have been perfect if the Mets
would have hung on to that victory.
Hung on to that 2-1 lead and then swept the series.
I don't think they wanted to. I think the intent was to try to lose that game. Really?
Put
in watching the way
that
they went about that game yesterday, I think the intent might have been, listen, we won 2. Let's give the Padres a chance. We don't want to motivate them for the postseason. They did everything in their power to not win that game yesterday.
They refuse to let Lucchese go through the order a third time.
No.
Refuse.
But there's no one available in the bullpen.
That's what I mean.
No
so
one.
So why not give him a try? Like, he struck out the side in the fifth. He threw 15 pitches. Like, we can't. I get it's the top of the order. He gave up a fam home run. That was it.
That was it. To lead off the game. Well,
let
me ask you this
game,
question.
Yeah.
Do you feel better about Lucchese going through the order again, having watched the way he's pitched, or 2 innings of Jairus Familia?
I would roll the dice. I think that, and not only this though, I think that Lucchese, the way that he's pitched of late, has earned the opportunity. So you're you're killing two birds with one stone, right? It's like I understand. I got Familia, I got Barnes, and I got May. And right now, let's be honest. I mean, you don't.
I don't have a lot of confidence in any of those guys.
Well, especially with Familia, when you're going to stretch him out. I mean, that's the most pitches he's thrown since 2014. Since 2014, the
what
most pitches.
40-something pitches?
To 41.
I mean, come
41
on.
Pitches.
And then you go to Barnes?
Well, but here's the thing, though. Why not go to Barnes? Barnes actually thought he was up to face fam. Like, once he lost Profar and the bases are loaded, like, now, why not bring Barnes in now, see what he can do against fam, as opposed to, okay, we just walked a run in, so the game is tied, and hey, good luck with Tatis Jr.
Yeah, here's your entree into the game. Go ahead.
Good luck.
I gotta be honest. I guess it's because they were so short on arms. You got the inning and barely in the sixth out of Familia for the seventh. I'm going to Barnes with the clean inning.
No, but that's the issue I have though. Is then why not? Because again, I think that Lucchese has earned the right to at least try, and they're not doing it. They're not because yesterday would have been the time to do it. Right? Like yesterday would have been the time. You pitched 5 really good innings.
Yep.
You had no problem in the fifth. You struck out the side. Let's at least give you the opportunity because we're short in the bullpen. Because now if you get me through, if all of a sudden now you get me through the sixth, now things line up better for me. Now I probably don't have to push Familia an extra inning. Right? I could go.
Yeah, I go
I
Familia,
could probably go,
Barnes into May.
Well, yeah, but I could go. Yeah, but I could even go, you know, Barnes, and I got Smith available too. And then I can go right to Familia, and then he said he wanted May to close. As opposed to now trying to push Familia the way they push Familia, and you saw how that worked out. Because you're right. I mean, the first inning he threw, the sixth inning, it was a struggle.
Well, it was first and second, then he gets the double play, then he gets himself out of it. And my thought is, you know what? Whew, We got out of this. I'm done with Familia. I'll move on to the next guy, and we have a chance. And then when he trotted back out there for the seventh, I was like, oh, God. I mean, you talk about playing with fire?
But that's what it felt like. That's exactly. And the Padres lineup is too good. Like, at a certain point, like, they're going to, like, Tatis Jr. is going to break through. Machado's too good. Like, those guys are too good. And again, to have all of a sudden now, because to sit there and say that he didn't look like he was starting to get gassed, I think is ridiculous. I mean, he had thrown 37 pitches up to that point where he ends up walking Pham in that tying run-in.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have good control to begin with.
No, well, yeah, that's the point. He doesn't have great control. He can lose the strike zone. I mean, that's the most pitches the 41 pitches is the most he's thrown since 2014, right? And now you're bringing Barnes into the game to face one of the best hitters in baseball with the bases loaded. Like, I can't. It's 2-2 already. Like, I cannot afford to be too cute here because I don't want to walk in another run. Especially when all of a sudden that 1-1 pitch that probably may have been.
Yeah, that changed the entire at-bat. I agree.
Entire at-bat gets changed. And then Tatis, he makes you pay.
That's what he does.
And that was it. It was night-night. I mean, Grand Slam, game's over.
That was it.
That was it. And then Machado, for good measure, hits another home run. But mm-hmm. that was the game. So, I mean, it sucks. I just think you would have been better off because you knew, like, Castro was unavailable. Like, all the Lugo, Diaz, all those guys were unavailable. Is that, you know, maybe you use this opportunity as a chance to let Lucchese either sink or swim. Like, we'll see. We haven't done it yet. But let's try it. Let's see how it works out.
Yeah, I agree with you. And this is not Monday morning quarterback. You tell me Lucchese, who's been great, gets another inning, or Familia is going to go for two? No. I don't even think that's much of a decision.
Not at all. Obvious. I'm not even a Mets fan, Dave, and I hold my breath anytime Familia comes into the game. So, I mean, I'm with both of you guys. I think you give Lucchese a chance to see what he can do, getting stretched out, going through the order a third time. I think because he's pitched so well in the last several outings, you go ahead and give him that opportunity. But, I mean, there's no question in my mind in yesterday's game that's where it was lost for the Mets. The question I have to you guys is, even though it feels like a decision that Rojas was trying to defend, like, is that an organizational call or is that on the manager?
I think it's both.
I think it's probably run up the flagpole. I think that's probably organizational. I think going into the game, it's understood.
Yeah, but isn't that the thing that pisses you off the most about analytics?
Well, yeah, because if a guy is rolling along, I can't roll with him for now another inning?
No, it's like a hard and fast rule. Like, we ain't letting him go through the order.
He can't go through the lineup three times, no matter what the circumstance is. But think about it. You don't have half your bullpen, and the better half of your bullpen available. So you can't adjust the analytics a little bit on this one day?
Well, because it was going to be a tight rope back to try to, I mean, to keep, to... With how many innings you're going to cover with a bullpen that you don't necessarily trust because it's not your up. I mean, it's, you know, like, May has struggled, right? Like, Familia for a couple innings, that doesn't make me feel great. Barnes is okay. But, I mean, the guys that you really trust, the Lugos, the Diaz, like, those guys aren't available. So to try to hold on to a 2-1 lead, that was going to be a tightrope act to begin with. Like, that, unless you tack some runs on, that was not going to be easy. Like, everyone was going to have to be great to try to get me to cement a 2-1 win. I thought it was a good opportunity to give Lucchese a chance.
Yep, we all do. We all do. I thought,
you know what, you know what a bat really screwed us though, Dave, was that Profar at bat. It was that walk to walk the bases loaded.
Mm-hmm.
He had him down 1-2 and he let it just go on slider.
Let it get away.
Man.
Yep. And then he completely fell apart. That I think that was, he was on fumes, and when that got away, they should have.
Yeah, but how do you not see that? That's what aggravates me. It's your job. You don't, like, the pitching coach doesn't see that?
Well, not only that, he's at 40 pitches at that point.
No, he's at 37.
Well, but you know what I'm saying. I mean,
you're right.
40 pitches, for God's sake. That's a lot of pitches for an outing. And he's Familia. It's not like you say, all right, well, Aroldis Chapman, you know, he's the best of the best, and I'm going to ride through with him. It's Familia, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I don't, I didn't, listen, am I heartbroken? No, I mean, they
beat
the
Padres in a series where they're undermanned. They did a good job this weekend.
They did a great job. But that would have been, I mean, especially because your bench is light. You know what I mean? Like, there were a lot of different reasons why you could have let Lucchese at least try to get himself through the sixth.
It would have been the perfect weekend. I have no recollection whether I read this or not, so let me read again. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Do you have any idea that I do that once or no?
No, I don't think you did. No.
No.
Okay. I did read the intro?
Oh, you did. Oh. You came right in with it. Straight Talk, right in with it.
Well, I just asked you, and you said I didn't.
Well, because you felt I was kind of reading off you. You sounded like confident that you.
I said I have no idea, is what I said.
I was giving you the benefit of the doubt. You should be. That was a compliment.
Oh yes, thanks. Anyway, then that was Straight Talk Wireless, no contracting and no compromise. And I'll remember that I did that one. So the sigh of relief for the Mets fan, because I'm telling you, when he leaves the game after 80 pitches, and now you hear it's some kind of an elbow issue, you panic. When it comes to Jacob DeGrom, here he is about leaving the start on Friday evening.
You know, I felt it this week in between. I'm not too concerned about it because it didn't get much worse as the game went on. There in the, what was that, the sixth inning, when I was trying to loosen up, I could feel it and it was tightening up a little bit. But, you know, I've had a couple elbow issues before and I know what that feels like. So my level of concern is not too high. I'm pretty optimistic about it and I'm pretty sure it's going to be something that we can treat and hopefully not miss any time.
I was terrified. But I guess he threw in the bullpen on Saturday, and they say he's going to make his next scheduled start this week.
Yeah, but that's what he just said at the end of that sound bite is what bothers me the most about it. Like, hopefully we treat it, hopefully we don't miss a start. Well, guess what? It's fine. You can miss a start. That's fine. Like, this doesn't have to be something that we're trying to you know, grit our teeth and get through. Like, the fact that going into that last start, as good as he was, it was something that was bothering him going into the start. I don't love. The last thing you want is you can't afford to have him go down for an extended period of time. You can't.
No, your season's done if that's the case.
That's all you have right now. It's the three. And Lucchese's pitched great, but that's all you have.
Yeah, Stroman was awesome, Walker, too. And it's you know, the best in the business, DeGrom.
Because Carrasco, I mean, I didn't even realize it's my fault. I didn't even realize he tore his hamstring. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, there's a chance he doesn't come back.
Missed the entire season?
Dude, I don't know, man. They just keep pushing it back and pushing it back and pushing it back.
Yeah, he just got an injection in the hamstring, didn't he?
Yeah. This is not good stuff. And then Syndergaard. So, I mean, that's really what you have is those three. Which, listen, if you win the division and those three are all healthy, I mean, that's a pretty damn good three to run out in the postseason.
Yes, with a pretty good bullpen when they're rested and available in any given game.
But my point is, I don't need him. Like I get it. Like, you're... He's a tough guy, and between what he does on the mound, at the plate. Dude, the guy's, he's one of your best athletes. I mean, he's not just a pitcher. Like, he's a really good baseball player. I don't need you to try to push through things right now. I don't.
It's not worth it. Yeah, you have to look at the big picture. And the big picture, you know, if you get hammered in his next start, or what's supposed to be, you lose 15-0. You know what? Sometimes you give up the battle to win the war, and that's what you have to do with this guy. He's just too important. He's too good.
He's the best player in baseball right now. I don't even think
he's the best player in baseball. This is the best first 2.5 months for a starting pitcher that we've ever seen. That we've ever seen, guys.
This is historic stuff, is what he's doing. Yeah. I'm looking at a stat right now. Jacob DeGrom is the first pitcher since the RBI became an official stat in 1920 to have more RBIs than earned runs.
What is
over
he, five, any
five four? To four, yeah.
Yeah. Over any 10 start span in a single season. Dude, and that was amazing. I mean, Chris, we were talking about this before the show. That's what it actually makes it even more amazing how good he was in his last start. If this was something that he was dealing with as he was warming up,
yeah, he completely neutralized a really good offensive team and made them look foolish. He got through 80 pitches through six innings.
Yeah, it's masterclass when it comes to pitching with Jacob DeGrom. Like, I mean, he's just at a different level than everybody else around baseball. I mean, we're running out of adjectives to describe what he's doing this year, and it just felt like year over year with Jacob DeGrom, he's gotten better. Dave, he only allowed one hit through 80 pitches through six innings and had 10 strikeouts. That's the thing. Like, he had double-digit strikeouts. Usually when you have a high strikeout total, you're talking about your pitch count being really, really high. But that just shows you how dominant, how overpowering Jacob DeGrom's stuff is. I mean, guys around baseball don't know what to do. And the Padres are one of the best offensive teams in all of the sport.
He's completely unhittable. And I think this is the second start, Rick, this year that he hasn't felt well. And he's still gone out there and shut down the opposition.
Yeah, but that's what's amazing, though. I mean, but you take that and you couple with the fact that this whole sticky stuff situation and everything else and how some of these guys have struggled. Like, I mean, Bauer hasn't been great.
No.
Over
not
his
at
last
all.
Handful of starts. I mean, it's just he's got right now. And it's the perfect combination of overpowering stuff. His velocity is crazy good, and he can throw He can throw wherever he wants. Like, how many, there's not, I mean, you tell me a guy in Major League Baseball that can throw 101 exactly where he wants it.
No,
whenever he wants to, though.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
that's
whenever
the thing,
he wants
whenever
it.
He wants to.
He can easily dial it up to over 100. On any pitch, and it doesn't even look like he's overthrowing.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Raymond Santiago just uttered these words into my ear, which I find to be concerning that he's already worried. He says, I better start to figure out some of the stars on the show today. It's 6:20. You don't get me until 7:57. Why is this a worry?
Listen, I like to be prepared after, certain incidents early on.
Yeah, but how can you be prepared when you still have more than half the show to go? You don't know
number
greatness.
One's already done, though. I mean, let's wrap that up. Yeah, I mean, you got 2 and 3 to figure out.
Well, what do you mean one?
One is the Islanders, period.
Stop. No.
Actually,
the stars are supposed to be given with who performs the best on the show. Not like the Islanders playing.
I didn't just play, though. Islanders didn't just play in a game. They won game one.
I understand, but the Islanders are not part of this show. It's what happens within these walls from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7.
Actually, something happened over the weekend. Not Islanders involved, but it was brought to my attention that somebody's Twitter avatar was finally changed.
That was pathetic, by the way. I mean, I'm glad you brought it up, right? Because I forgot. You're pathetic. I want to feel a way about you, and I do most times. Seeing what you did there, you're such a little sycophant. I mean, oh, look at me and Michael. We live happily ever after. It's pathetic.
It's not pathetic. You're jealous of it. I'm supporting my guy.
I swear, as long as the day is, I swear to you, I am jealous of nothing. I like Michael as much as anybody. Well, maybe that's not true. But I like Michael a great deal. But the fact that you are always, kissing up to him. And you didn't, Chris, you should heard him on Friday. I don't know how to change my Twitter.
Oh, I heard
Twitter.
It, Dave. I heard it. I mean, he's basking in the summer of K.
I don't know how to change my Twitter photo. It's something that's beyond what I'm capable of doing. And then right after the show, he's got it cropped. He's got special emojis. Mm-hmm. You are unbelievable.
Not only did I figure it out, I added emojis to it.
Yeah, he turned into Bill Gates all of a sudden.
BFF, Dave.
It's a whole different world. It's a whole different world now.
Oh, my. So before we even get into the pathetic picture, and I'm going to bring it up to describe it as best I can, how did you or who helped you figure out how to change that thing?
I casted it. Cassie did it. I don't know how to do that stuff.
So she was able to do that?
Yeah. Well, no, I did the emoji thing. Like, I pressed one of the buttons. I was like, what is this? Oh, it's emojis. Can I just say where I want?
Listen to him, Dave. He wants credit for the emoji.
Look at this. So,
just,
if you haven't
so everybody
seen,
knows.
Michael wore, and this is not me. Don attacked Michael for a shirt that he wore, I think, last Thursday. And it had lots of colors. It was like dark blue with light blue. And then in the middle, it's red stripes down
beautiful
the middle.
Shirt.
It looked like what Charlie Sheen would wear on 2 and a Half Men. And of course, we understand that Rick would defend Michael. But he took a snapshot of that photo and put a heart that says BFF in the upper corner. And that is now his new photo on Twitter. You are really unbelievable.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful shirt. It's a beautiful picture.
Oh, my God.
This is support at its finest. This is supporting a friend, not just any
but
friend.
But what are you
your
supporting? The fact that he was wearing a terrible shirt? Like, what are you supporting here?
No, everyone, I think it's a nice shirt. And
no,
I just
you don't.
To show everyone
stop it.
I'm behind it.
Stop. No, even the other day you said if he had called me and shown me the shirt, I would have told him not to wear it. So now all of a sudden it's a nice shirt?
Because he wore it, yes.
Wow. Come on, Rico. Real friends keep real friends from wearing shirts like that.
Why can't you just be honest with him? You know what? This shows how untrue this friendship is. You're not honest with him. At least be honest with him. If he's a real friend, you'll give him the truth, and you won't even give him the truth. So it's not a legitimate friendship.
I wasn't offered the opportunity to tell him the truth.
I understand.
Which is what I explained to you on Friday.
I understand you weren't offered the opportunity, but don't come out and say the BFF with a photo of a shirt that you did not like.
You are an enabler.
No, I'm just showing people that even with that shirt on, I still support him. He's still my best friend. Like, I don't allow his clothing decisions to sway me in any way.
And that's fair, but you can't defend that fashion choice. And it sounds like ipso facto, that's what you're trying to do.
I see what you're doing, trying to use my
words. Ipso facto, baby.
Using words like weapons. I get it.
It's a fact, though.
Trying to change my mind.
Even Jen, who loves the show more than maybe anybody this side of Cousin Lonnie, tweets, yes, it is pathetic, Rick. Even Jen.
No, but here's the thing, though. This is what you guys are jealous of. I'll tell you exactly what this comes down to. You are jealous. Not that I like Michael. It's that you don't have anyone that likes you as much as I like Michael. That's really what this comes down to.
In my life,
like
or
no,
at
you
the
have
station?
No friend that has the same kind of blind loyalty to you that I have to Michael. That's the issue.
My wife does.
No, I said friend.
She's my best friend.
No, my wife is my best friend too. I mean male friend outside of your marriage.
Well, I wouldn't want that, to be honest.
Yeah, I was about to
say.
I don't
want that. I don't want friends to lie to me. I don't want friends to tell me untruths and just to defend me no matter what
the situation
is.
Someone told you that you should do a podcast. Who was that? Was that a friend that told you to do that?
Wow. Taking a shot at Untucked.
So you see what he does, though?
I see what he's doing, Dave. It's not right. He's deflecting right now. He's trying to defend Kay by taking shots at you.
No one is better at deflecting away from knowing that they're wrong and knowing that they're on the attack than Rick DiPietro.
And welcome aboard.
No one.
And welcome aboard.
And welcome aboard.
See, Chris, don't let him do it. He knows he's wrong.
I'm not going to let him do it, Dave. I'm not going to let him do it. I mean, real friends don't let their friends wear a shirt like Kay wore on Thursday. It just doesn't happen. Like, I would like to think that everybody that's in my friend group would tell me if they saw me walk out the house with that shirt on, hey, bro, you need to go back and change. That's not a good look. I'm just saying.
Don loves Michael. They work together.
I question that. I don't think he really does.
No, that's real love. That's real love, Rico.
No, I think it's a work relationship.
He sat there and he said, that shirt is so horrendous that it's the worst thing that you've ever worn since I've known you. That's a true friend, not whatever you wear or whatever you look like. I think you look great. That's not legitimate.
Oh, no, first of all, it was hurtful. It stepped over the line. And let's not pretend like, you know, Don is all of a sudden, you know, Tom Ford.
But I don't understand. Right. I love this because I didn't hear. But apparently,
Tom
Michael
Ford
went after
that's
me.
Not the best shirt choice. I'm just.
Well,
saying.
No. But if you have
why
a rotation
do you
have, of,
so the only
you have a
person that
five
can critique
shirts
the shirt is Calvin Klein. Why?
Well, not. I don't know. If I have a rotation of five shirts I wear every single week, and two of them are free shirts. Like, I'm probably not going to start throwing stones about other people's attire.
I don't fault Don. He's staying in his lane, Rico.
That's right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Like,
you
if Dave starts giving
kind of
people
awareness.
Fitness advice, I think I have a problem with it.
Wow.
I was fat at one point.
It's jealousy is what it is. That's fine. Not, you can it, throw it, stones. It's fine.
Zero jealousy.
Mock us. Mock our relationship. That's
fine. It's embarrassing, honestly.
This relationship makes me uncomfortable, Dave. It really does.
Good. I'm glad.
And I genuinely mean it. It's embarrassing.
Welcome
I feel
aboard.
Sorry for you. I feel like I should send you like a basket of chocolates or something. Just
and
to
welcome
say, like,
aboard.
I'm sorry, Rick.
No,
like if you were to have a surgery, I would reach out and do something. I feel like I should do the same. Like, you are mentally broken if you would defend him no matter what he does.
No matter what.
He could commit a murder, and you would let him hide the weapon in your home.
No, not in my home. I'm
I think you would.
Come up with the alibi, though, Dave.
Yeah,
come
I would
up
drive,
with the alibi.
I was
I would
with him.
The Bronco.
I was with him. But hang on. It was 11 o'clock at night. You're usually sleeping. I was cuddling Michael. He was right next to me.
So you'd be Michael's AC, Rico?
Yeah, I would drive. Dave, here's what we'll do.
It's DP in the car. Who is it? It's DP!
It's DP.
You know who it is!
Ain't nobody know you!
Wow.
Send me a picture of you in the swim shirt, and I will defend the swim shirt on my next avatar.
Oh, it's an SUV protected shirt.
No, I won't.
That's just as
bad. I don't think it's a great, look. I wear it out of necessity. There was no necessity for him to wear that on the air the other day. None.
Well, maybe he was wearing it for this reason, to get a reaction to it. People are
so
talking.
If he's such a genius, then God bless him. If he's like a human chess player where he can look five steps down the road and say, if I wear this godforsaken shirt, then everyone will attack me, but Rick will defend me and even go to such lengths as changing his avatar on Twitter, if Michael has that type of foresight, he is the smartest man I've ever met in my life.
And this is why we're attracted to each other, though. Fordham guy, Harvard guy. I mean, we're playing Queen's Gambit. You're playing checkers is what you're doing.
There's nothing wrong with checkers, by the way.
I love checkers. But, I mean, this is not what we're doing right now. We're making moves that you can't even see yet. Like, the game hasn't even started. I already got you in checkmate. And you don't even realize it yet.
Like that kind of party. Because it's not true. It's you saw Michael was under attack and you had to jump to his defense.
Which is exactly what a friend should do, isn't it?
Not when a friend makes that kind of an issue. That kind of a mistake. No.
Well, I think it's a statement about you, where if I said, who's your best, like, do you have any other best friends? And your first response is, oh, Sherry. I mean, Sherry's my best friend.
You know it's going to work later.
Well, listen, I hope so. Cassie's my best friend, too. But I also got a Pete and a Sooch, too, to throw in there.
Untucked Rothenberg.
Yeah. And welcome aboard. You won't be laughing at 8 o'clock tonight, my friend.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I didn't know what happened. I just saw on Twitter the scariest thing that I've ever seen. Like, that was pretty much the theme of what people were putting out there. And then I got in front of a TV later in the afternoon on Saturday. That was, I mean, bone chilling. I'm not a soccer guy, but I'm a human being. The Denmark player, Christian Eriksen, who they actually said was gone, was on the verge of death, they announced yesterday. That was, Rick and Chris, as terrifying, not even a sports injury, as terrifying a moment that I've seen on live TV as I've ever seen. That was awful.
I don't think it, I mean, it doesn't. In my opinion, I mean, is it especially, I mean, you know, having played, having, like, you know, teammates that have had, you know, injuries, like some, like, serious injuries, to see a teammate like that where it was, I mean, that was, it was it. I mean, you read afterwards, they had to defibrillate him. Like, his heart stopped. He was.
Yeah, no, the doctor said, quote, he was gone, was the quote from the doctor directly. Awful.
I couldn't even imagine being one of his teammates. Being a family member of his, watching that game, to see that happen? No, I mean, no. You never even imagine, like, when you're on the ice, the field, whatever, like, that is the furthest thing from your mind that something like that could potentially happen.
Yeah, that's scary as hell, dude. I don't know what you do. Like, as a teammate, I don't know how you're supposed to react with that. I mean, yeah.
You just pray that somehow the doctors are able to bring him back.
And they did.
And he's fine.
You know what I was thinking about, Chris? Thank God it happened the way it happened. I mean, that you're walking around your house and that happens, you're dead. Thank God it happened on the playing field, that the doctors were right there and could run on and help him.
No, you're right about that, Dave. But, I mean, just moving forward, like, that's one of those things that shakes you. Like, you just don't bounce back from something like that. Like, yeah, I mean, just his teammates, everybody that's in that organization, like, that's one of those things that's going to stay with you. You can't just bounce back from that. You're not just going to move forward after something like that happens. That's scary as hell.
Well, they finished the game after.
I know, Dave. That's the crazy thing about it.
Yeah, once they realized, like, once they knew he was stabilized, I mean, actually, I think he actually was the one that said he wanted them to finish the game. If he's not stabilized and if he's still in, like, critical condition, there's no way that game is. They're not playing that game. They're not going to finish that game.
No,
there's no chance. I mean, Dave, remember when Jay Bouwmeester collapsed on the bench?
Mm-hmm.
And they had to recess. They had to.
And they did the same thing with him.
The same thing with him.
Yep.
And then one of the first things that crossed my mind with that is that part of coaching now is that we have to be, like, we take, you know, training for all this stuff.
Are you're CPR certified now?
Yeah. That was the first thing that came to my mind. Like, God forbid, if something like that ever happened, in that moment, would I be able to handle it?
I got to be honest, and I mean this sincerely. You know I give you a hard time. I would think that you would rise to the occasion. I really believe that would be the case. I think if something like that happened, you would take control and you would save the guy. I do.
I would hope so. I mean, that's my hope. I mean, that's the reason why you get the training and everything else. I just know in that moment, like that's where it's now happened. Like, it's, and you got to give those, I mean, you give the trainers and everything tons and tons of credit to react the way that they reacted.
They saved his life.
Yeah, but to be one of his teammates, I mean, and you saw what they did. They kind of, you know, formed a circle around him so no one could see what was going on.
Oh,
like, that's what I mean. But you saw it, like, and those. What people need to understand, too, is the reason why, you know, Chris and I always talk about, you know, team chemistry and culture and everything else is because this is no word of a lie. You spend more time with your teammates than you do your own family.
Mm-hmm.
And those become your brothers, man. That is. And to see one of your brothers on the ground like that, and he's a young guy. I mean, that's the thing about athletes, too, is that what makes you who you are is that you think you're invincible. Like, there's nothing that can hurt you, right? And then all of a sudden it becomes real like that.
But I think that's any young person. I think it was 29 years old. When you were 29, you sports or not. Like, I just think that young people think they're invincible, period.
No, I don't disagree with you, but I'm not talking about young. I'm just saying, like, these are grown men, and we have this, like, this thought process where there's nothing going to stand in our way. Like, that nothing's going to happen to us. That if we do get hurt, a doctor will fix us, and we'll be back. And that's to have it all of a sudden now happen on the field to one of your brothers. It's like that wouldn't be. I could imagine that would not be something that I would be able to handle very well.
Yeah, it was awful. I mean, really, like I'm. You don't have to be a soccer fan just to be a human being and watch that the other day. And just, I mean, that shook me. It really did. And I think everybody listening felt exactly.
But
the same
you
way.
Know what? What I think makes it worse though too is. It's like, and it is, I think it's any kind of athlete, is that, like, even the Kobe thing, I think, was like that. Like, you don't expect stuff like that to happen to certain people. Like, to have a guy his age have an incident like that where he just goes into cardiac arrest and just, you know, collapses the way that he collapsed, it's like, well, he's in unbelievable shape. Like, if something like that could happen to him, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, That also adds to why it shakes you so much.
It was gruesome, and it looks like he's going to be okay, and thank God for that. Rick, your Islanders. Now, oh, for God's sakes, are you going to do that every time, Sandy?
Yeah, play it, Sandy. Play it. Give me a goal song. How about a goal song?
Really?
What do you mean, really?
I mean, am I going to have to hear this all? I mean, this is awful. This is my worst nightmare. So, the Islanders now, because the last thing I had, like my last line of defense, I'm like, well, at least I have the Lightning. And now they go out there and they beat the Lightning in Game 1. Now, I still don't know that the Islanders win the series, but to say that I think every Rangers fan is not really concerned would be an understatement at the moment. Can you please turn this thing off, Raymond? Please, thank you.
See, that's the thing, though. We sit here and talk about how poorly constructed the Yankees are right now in the moment. We can focus and highlight how well put together this Islanders team is.
It is phenomenal. They're a tough team, and I don't know that they have a weakness right now.
When they play the way they played last night and Tampa showed up the way they showed up, I mean, we said, you know, a couple things the Islanders needed to do when this series was stay out of the penalty box, which for the most part, I mean, the Nelson penalty was late. For the most part, they did that. Score first, which they did.
Which they did. That was a bad second goal, right?
Awful. Oh, dude, he won't. I mean, to see him letting a goal like that. I mean, the Red Sea's parted. There was no traffic in front.
No. And you, I remember you on Friday, you said, if he can see any shot, he will stop it. Well, he saw that shot dead on, and that was just brutal.
Well, for the most part, he did. He was awesome in that game. I mean, Vasilevskiy made some unbelievable saves in that game. I mean, the second half of that first period, the Islanders carried most of the play in the second half of that first period. And the other big thing, too, was that, I mean, that penalty kill to start the third period was mm-hmm. humongous.
It was.
Because if, God forbid, Tampa scores on that power play, momentum into the third period, completely different
completely
game.
Changes. Can we say this? I felt like this, and now I'm not even sure. Did Tampa just not play well yesterday as well? Is it fair to say that
it
or
was
no?
Both.
Okay.
I think they lacked urgency, and maybe it was overconfidence, whatever you want to call it. And then the beauty of the Islanders, is, especially when they score first, but in general, is they make you uncomfortable because they are physical. You can see it. I mean, Sergachev didn't know what the hell to do. He was turning the puck all over the place. Stamkos got benched because he turned the puck over, which led to that first goal. But it's like there's so much skill on Tampa that they want to be creative. They want to, you know, make that extra pass. They want to go east to west. And what the Islanders do is they say, no, that's not what we're going to let you do. If you want to go north-south, chip pucks in, be physical, forechecking all those things. Well, yeah, you can try to do that. It's going to be tough, but you got to commit yourself to doing that. And Tampa did not show the commitment to do that. It's like, it would be like a running back like Saquon Barkley, right? Is he's always looking to break that big run. He wants to dance. And if we take that away, we say, hey, okay, we'll let you try to run between the tackles, but you got to be committed to try to run between the tackles. And if you want to do that, because it's going to be hard, you can do it, but we ain't going to make it easy. And that's what the Islanders do. They make you earn it. If you want to play hard nose and chip pucks in and do those things, okay, we'll let you do that, and it's going to be tough. But we ain't going to let you make the pretty plays and go cross ice and everything else, because that we're going to feast off that stuff.
Yeah, and you didn't see a lot of that yesterday. Kenny in Jersey. Kenny has a question for you, Chris. Good morning, Ken. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Now, I didn't really have a question. What I was going to tell Rick is I'm 100% down with his Islanders, even though I'm a Rangers fan.
My man, Kenny. You're a fraud, Kenny.
Welcome aboard.
Kenny, you are the worst kind of fraud out there.
Give me the welcome aboard.
No, you're pathetic. I don't know how you look yourself in the mirror, Kenny.
Give it to me, Sandy.
Let me tell you how, Dave. Dave, check it out. You know how weird you is, Dave. Don't go on me like that. Look, the Islanders is easy to root for. It's not like they're the Brooklyn Nets, where, you know, they've got the stupid team and all that. They real easy to root for.
Feels
you
good.
Kenny, the players on the Islanders, the way they play, the way they're coached, the GM, all of it, easy to root for, very likable. They're the Islanders. If you're a Rangers fan, you are not allowed to root for the Islanders. That's it.
Nah,
period.
That's
end of sentence.
Absolutely not true. That's not true.
you could not be more wrong.
Dave,
Don't let Dave judge your fandom.
I can judge your fandom. That's like saying, oh, you know what? Yeah, I'm a Giants fan, but you know the Cowboys are so likable. They're just, you know, it's a likable bunch of Cowboys players.
No, it's not the same thing at all.
It's exact same
thing.
No,
it isn't. It's like a Giants fan saying, you know, I'm going to root for the Jets. It has nothing to do. You're not rooting for the same team in. You're not rooting for someone in the NFC East.
Well, they're in the same division.
That's a great point, Dave. Are they really in the same division?
They're in the same. This is why I have a hockey show. Division. Yes, they're in the mutual division. Yes,
mass mutual.
Yes. It's the exact same thing.
But it's a little bit different, though, because it's the same. It's more like because it's New York. It's rooting for a New York team is what he's saying.
All right, so then if the Yankees were to go on some red-hot run and get to the World Series, you now root for them, right?
No, I don't.
Well, why?
Because I choose not to.
Exactly.
But I don't look down at Kenny for deciding he wanted to be an Islander fan.
Well, because he's joining your bandwagon, but you should.
Yeah, which
it's an awful life choice.
Welcome aboard, Kenny.
No, disgusting.
And welcome aboard. How many times do I have to say it, Santiago, before you play the clip?
And welcome aboard.
Thank you. God almighty.
He doesn't. He's got music going.
It's
he's got
amazing
cool songs.
To me.
He's got yes, yes, yes is ready to go. He's stressing about.
Oh no, he gets in my ear.
Stars.
I said welcome aboard 15 times, and he's like, "What do you want?" I'm like, "Play the clip." He's like, "What do you want? The song?" No, I don't want the song.
He doesn't know what's going on. He's got too much sleep.
There's a lot to process there. What do you want?
God almighty.
Give you the goal song. I'll give you the yes chance. Unsatisfied.
You'll probably give yourself
the
second star now.
Under. He's
got to probably give himself
a
second star.
In the next hour and 15 minutes.
Although, I mean, the 3 stars is a cluster anyway. I mean, I don't even know what he's stressed out about.
Wow.
Wow, he says.
Clearly, you're not going to get one. You're not putting your best foot forward.
As long as the Islanders get one. Islanders should have the first star.
Raymond, can you define what 3 stars is?
It's whatever I want it to be. How about that?
Oh, wow. So you're God when it comes to 3 stars, huh?
Wow.
This is what you put on my plate. This is what I'm doing.
Wow. It's whatever I want it to be. I kind of love that, though.
This guy has some balls lately. I'll tell you that. He's got that. I mean, this guy, he just... Ever since the Knicks and Rangers have been over, it's like a different guy.
He's got too much sleep. He doesn't know what to do with all the sleep. He's sleeping 4 or 5 hours a night. He's completely refreshed and rejuvenated. He doesn't know what to do with himself.
Off of 4 or 5 hours of sleep.
Right?
Wow.
He's an animal at this point. I don't know how RJ's dealing with this.
Uninterrupted.
Egomaniac. I'll do whatever I want with the 3 stars.
All right. It's now time. Let's go. It's Chris's time to shine. It's Kenny or can't he?
Everyone's favorite. Can he or can't he?
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
I'm not sure I like this hostility. I'm also just sitting back and watching all of it.
Yeah, you got some popcorn, RJ?
You love it.
We remember how last week went for you.
It's a week to forget about. It's a new week. And here we are. I will start with this, unrelated, but I had this stat about the Islanders. 127-55, that is the all-time record of teams that take game one in the conference finals in the NHL. It's a good sign for the Islanders.
I don't know why you not to say that.
A little bit of optimism.
And how about when they do it on the road?
Well, I'll get my people on that. My people, I'll have to do
back
it myself
to the collie
after the segment ends. Also today... 23-year anniversary of an absolutely iconic moment in sports. If you don't know, I will tell you in a couple of minutes.
Oh, we know. Wait, what year? What anniversary?
The 23.
That's not what I'm thinking of then.
I have this source, ESPN Stats and Info.
Because I'm thinking June 14th, 1994, which will be, 27 years?
Well, there's multiple things that happened today.
This is a big day.
This day's happened many times.
Yes.
But the one I'm talking about is, I'm not underselling it, iconic in every sense of the word. So, you guys spoke about it earlier, the Yankees, some quick numbers for you. Lost 7 of 9, 13 of 18. They're in fourth place, guys. 8.5 back in the AL East. That's the furthest back they've been in their own division since September of 2018. Can you tell me you expect the Yankees to make the playoffs?
Nah, I can't say that, RJ. I can't say that I expect them to make a playoffs. Now, do they still have a chance to? Absolutely. And they still got a bunch of games against the Boston Red Sox. But as we sit here today, they're 4 games back from the second wild card, and they're 8.5 back from Tampa, who has the best record in all of baseball. I mean, we said it. If we get to the end of this month, and you're talking about the Yankees being double digits back for the division lead, I mean, it's starting to get late early. So, no, we can't say that we expect the Yankees to make the playoffs.
Oh, boy, I love this question. Can I say that I expect them to make the playoffs? Yes, I can say I expect them to make the playoffs. And I hope that we look back at this answer 3 months from now and say, you're such an idiot. How could you have said that? But yes, I just, until the Yankees are dead, buried, the dirt is poured on them, I always think they find a way. So I will say, yes, I still expect the Yankees to make the playoffs.
Wow. See, I can't tell what you're doing now. Yeah, but I think he's doing it on purpose now, is what he's doing.
Yeah, he's saying that in hopes that he's wrong and they'll be disappointed.
Because it's a win-win for me now.
But if he's right, then right. It's like he's Roth Adonis.
That's right. It's a win-win.
And welcome aboard. No, I got to be with Chris here. I mean, the way they're playing right now. Don't you guys feel like Cashman's going to do something, though? Even if it's not a big move, don't you feel like he's got to do something?
But what could you do? What is there?
And they need a center fielder. I'll tell you what. They need a center fielder. That would be something that I do immediately.
So they bring in Marte from Arizona, and all of a sudden the fortunes change?
No, I don't think it all of a sudden, like, fortunes just automatically change. But I definitely think it changes something. Like, something needs to be changed.
Stop getting thrown out on the bases is probably one.
That would help. That would help.
In double plays.
31
BPs in baseball are not great.
And other things Rick would tell you they're probably. All right.
Hence the
you can't even finish your own thought.
Jarvis Landry said over the weekend that Odell Beckham Jr. looks, quote, amazing after his knee surgery. So I ask you this. Can you tell me that Odell Beckham Jr. is still a top 10 receiver in the NFL?
No, I can't tell you that. And I just did a quick list, and yeah, Odell is outside of the top 10. I got Devontae Adams, Nuke Hopkins, Steph Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Justin Jefferson, and Michael Thomas. So Odell is not a top 10 receiver right now, no.
Rick, I don't know if you see what's happening, but forget about the question. I am distressed beyond reproach. They're telling him the questions beforehand.
Yeah.
He's doing research that he can come up with. He has enough time. He knows the questions. He now does a list of who the guys are, where for us it's like, all right, you have 3 seconds. Is he a top 10 receiver? I don't need all this time.
Oh, it's
I don't
Canty, need to make Canty, list. Dave. Canny, Canty.
I mean, understand.
It's my featured segment. Why can't I shine? I'm just saying.
Well,
let me live, Dave Rothenberg.
I think some spontaneity would also be attractive in
this
moment.
We got a little bit of that mixed in there, but I mean, I wanted to come up with a list for top 10 receivers. I wanted to be definitive. There's nothing wrong with that.
I would say, I cannot say that he's a top 10 receiver at this point. I'm not going to give a list because I haven't had the time to prepare it, but I will say he's not a top 10 receiver now.
I agree with that. I agree with the both of you. I'm not even sure if he's the best receiver on his team.
Fair point.
Le'Veon Bell made a little news over the weekend.
Oh, God. I was going to save this for an observation.
What a fool.
I have another one. Would you like me to?
No, because he says he's going to save it, and then it's hit or miss whether he's going to remember to bring it up on
Twitter. Oh, okay, yeah. Because how lucky are you in your segment? Like, Canty's doing research for his segment. I got to do research for my segment. You just sit down, and people ask you questions for your segment. Stop.
Do you understand the stress that I'm under for that segment?
God.
I don't know if you know this, but Dave actually has another part-time job, of which he works as a cruise director, to which he says...
And welcome aboard.
The maiden voyage.
All right, so Lev Bell, social media over the weekend. He took aim at, probably not who you would have guessed, Andy Reid. If I would have told you a former coach, probably wouldn't guess Andy Reid. He responded to a comment on Instagram about his time with the Chiefs in 2020 and said, I'd never play for Andy Reid again. I'd retire first. A lot of ways you can go with this, but off the top of your head, can you tell me a player that probably has more regret about leaving a situation and how it was handled than Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh?
I can't think of one, RJ. I can't. And I'm just sitting here off the top of my head. There really isn't anybody that you could point to and you say, I don't know if they've had a precipitous drop-off in production and their impact on their team winning like we've seen with Le'Veon Bell. First going to the New York Jets to chase the bag and then going to the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, it's been awful the last couple of years for Le'Veon Bell. And that was one of the things that we had talked about, the risk that comes along with leaving a stable organization like the Pittsburgh Steelers at the height of your powers. I don't know. If he had it to do all over again, I think Le'Veon Bell makes a different choice.
I haven't had the 15 minutes that Chris has had to chew on this question, but I would, without that kind of time to prepare, I would tend to agree. I can't think of a guy that has gone from superstardom to less than mediocrity, and now he's calling out coaches who are considered the best in the business. No, I cannot think of anyone.
Here's the beauty for Le'Veon Bell. He might get to do both. Not play for Andy Reid and retire.
Yeah.
<that's right. laughs> No one wants him.
He might have his dream come true.
Oh, here's one. Here's one, because I didn't have the 20 minutes that Chris got to prepare for this. I will give you one, though. Hockey. John Tavares.
I thought you might go there.
There you go. It's a good one.
Yes. We take you out to Disney cruise ships.
And welcome aboard.
I don't understand. What is that? Why am I now the whipping boy for this?
I'm not. It's just a phenomenal drop. We whittled it down to the whole podcast intro, but then you get welcome aboard on its own, and it's something.
Well, but here's the thing, though. It's called Untucked. It's not unbuoyed. It's not unchartered. It has nothing to do with sailing.
It was the first ever introduction to the podcast, so I was welcoming everyone.
Are you doing the podcast from a ship?
Maybe, you know what? Maybe that's the long-term goal. Maybe we want to get Carnival involved, and they're going to sponsor, and we'll do it from the rec room on the ship.
And welcome aboard.
All right, answer to the trivia here. I had one more on Nikola Jokic being tossed out of the game. I have a feeling we'll get to that at some point. But this day in 1998, iconic moment. Any guesses?
I think you're bearing the lead here. The iconic moment on this date is 94, not 98.
Okay. All right.
So when the Rangers won the Cup in 94, for us locally, is bigger than where you're going to go some Jordan play, right?
Michael against Russell, 12 seconds, 11, 10. Jordan a drive, hangs, fires, yes! Scores! He scores! The Bulls lead 87-86 with 5:02 left. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God.
He was so good.
He was so good. He's the GOAT.
Dude, my buddy was telling me that, you know, Kent, do you know this? You know Jordan owns his own golf course now in Florida?
I did not know that.
My buddy Hainsey was down there and he played it. He said it's craziness. It's like...
What,
like
try Jordan to be on
just,
it?
Well, no, it's just like... There's matches going all over the place. Like, Jordan will come down. Like, he'll jump on a cart. He's playing 36 holes. Like, it's just craziness.
They have blackjack tables in the sand traps.
Stop.
But that's the reason why he opened his own course, though. Was so he could pretty much do whatever he wants.
Rick, you'd love his golf bag, too, though. He's got that golf bag with all of the rings embroidered on it. Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, God. No, this is going to make me sick.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.